Welcome to KBIA's Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Coming up later in the show, the so-called fiscal cliff and what it would mean for the University of Missouri system.
A lot of it would depend upon how the agencies that fund us from the federal government decide to make up that reduction in their budget.
KBIA's Christopher Husted will have that story. But first, big news in Missouri politics that broke on Monday. U.S. House member Joanne Emerson announced she'll be retiring from her post on February 8th. According to a release from her Washington office, she's leaving to become the president and CEO of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. Emerson says she won't step down before the beginning of the next congressional session because she wants to continue working on issues like the fiscal cliff, completion of the Birds Point levee, and Mississippi River navigation challenges.
All of these require a huge amount of attention, which is why I feel so strongly that there needs to be as short a time period as possible between me leaving and the special election is called.
Emerson's been in Congress for 16 years and won her ninth election just last month. Governor Jay Nixon will have to call a special election to replace her, and the Republican and Democratic Congressional District Committees will select candidates to run for the race. In a district that's been strongly held by Republicans for decades, Jacob McClellan tells us many southern Missouri Republicans are jockeying for their shot at the U.S. House seat.
The GOP list of potential candidates is growing longer than a first grader's wish list to Santa Claus. Missouri Republican Party Executive Director Lloyd Smith and Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder have both expressed interest. Former Treasurer Sarah Steelman's name has been mentioned in several media reports. Senator Kevin Engler says he is surveying the lay of the land, while fellow Senator Jason Crowell is still thinking about it. Representatives Wayne Wallingford, Todd Richardson, and Jason Smith have floated their names, as well as Cape Girardeau County Presiding Commissioner Clint Tracy. The Republican Party's 8th District Committee will handpick that party's candidate. Emerson says she will have no input in the decision.
I think that it's my responsibility to allow the 8th District Congressional Committee to evaluate all interested candidates for the position, and that's their decision. That's how democracy works, and I need to stay out of it.
Southeast Missouri State University political scientist Jeremy Walling says the Republican Party has an important choice on their hands here. The party can choose a candidate without Tea Party interference. But, he says, it all depends on the direction the party wants to take, between a young, less proven politician or a savvy veteran like Lloyd Smith.
He's done great things for the Republican Party, but does the party want to go with someone like him, who's probably a sure thing if they field him as a candidate, or do they want to go with somebody who's younger and more dynamic and who maybe will stick around for a long time? And that, you know, that kind of remains to be seen here.
Rick Althaus teaches political science at Southeast. He says the Democrats have fewer options in their bullpen.
There aren't a lot of current Democratic office holders here, so that there's a kind of a small population to select from. We've got recent congressional opponents of Joanne, Tommy Sowers, for example, or others, but so those might be somebody who might be considered.
Althaus floated one dark horse candidate, Congressman Russ Carnahan, who will be redistricted out of the House. A Carnahan spokesperson said he had not yet spoken to the St. Louis area congressman about the race. I'm Jacob McClellan.
Another note on this story, after the special election, it'll be the first time in more than 30 years that someone who's not an Emerson will sit in that congressional seat. Joanne's late husband, Bill Emerson, represented the Southern Missouri District from 1981 until he died in 1996. Joanne won a special election that year and has cruised to re-election ever since. Sequestration, or the automatic across-the-board funding cut set to kick in nationwide at the beginning of 2013, would tally nearly $110 billion in cuts over the next 9 years. The cuts, part of the so-called fiscal cliff, are meant to alleviate the trillion-dollar deficit. Congressional Republicans and Democrats are currently facing a stalemate on a solution to the severe fiscal cuts sequestration calls for while still fixing the deficit. KBIA's Christopher Husted reports millions of dollars are at stake for the University of Missouri system.
If Congress does not act, sequestration will cut 8.4% of funding for non-defense discretionary programs starting next year. That means the University of Missouri system is at risk of losing more than $25 million of federal funding, according to a report from the system's Government Relations Office. The cuts would take chunks out of funds for student aid and Medicare, but the biggest slice would come out of university research. Rob Duncan is the vice chancellor for research on MU's Columbia campus, and he says about $17 million of federally supported research sits on the chopping block at the Columbia flagship alone. That's about 10% of the university's federal funding for research. The whole University of Missouri system stands to lose about $23 million in research funding.
It's a lot. It's substantial. And it's not certain, you know, what exactly that impact would be, because a lot of it would depend upon how the agencies that fund us from the federal government decide to make up that reduction in their budget.
Many university researchers receive federal grants for their projects through agencies such as the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and the Department of Energy. Should sequestration happen, these agencies will most likely not receive the same amount of federal money they have been collecting in the past. In turn, the agencies may be forced to limit the number of research grants awarded, cap the price tag on those grants, or even halt funding certain research projects altogether. Duncan says other funding opportunities are available, though.
Fortunately, in many cases, there will be opportunities to shift to other funding modalities other than the federal. But, you know, that's a problematic argument in the sense that as the federal investment slows down, ultimately all investment slows down. So it's something which, if it occurs, we'll certainly have to adapt to.
Another looming cut would be a $750,000 reduction in student aid grants for programs like Work Study. And Medicare payments are at risk too, but cuts are capped at 2% because the government considers it an entitlement program. In fact, Duncan says that's a big reason why we're in this funding crisis to begin with.
There's been rapid growth in the entitlement programs such as Medicare over the last decade. And with the federal government having to, address that growth, they're in a position where they decrease their discretionary spending in many other ways, like on discretionary non-defense and discretionary defense.
About half of the money scheduled to be saved with sequestration comes from deep defense cuts, something congressional Republicans and Democrats have said they want to avoid. Both U.S. senators from Missouri say they want to avoid reeling off the so-called fiscal cliff, but no compromise has been reached yet. Christopher Husted, KBIA News.
That's it for this week's Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Famuliter. Thanks for listening.